Mind your P's and Q's because we are heading to find out what makes this language of ours so unique in the world. It's Half True History. And welcome to Half True History, where we take the legends of yesterday, mix it with the facts of today, and come up with a fairly decent story that should get you hooked on to this topic. I am your professor for the night, Dan P. And as always, super producer Chris Crespo.
Hey, hey, hey.
And ever loyal, ever there, ever efficient, the Geoffrey Chaucer to my William Shakespeare, Pedro Lima.
¿Qué es lo que hay, Corillo?
What would you just say?
That was just, what's up, crew?
Oh, okay. So, how you been, guys?
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good. Took a quick trip to Cancun, came right back, dropped off the kids. you know, that little cold front that came down to Orlando was brutal.
Oh, barely survived.
Yeah, dude. But, you know, hanging strong, Orlando strong.
Yeah. Well, luckily, my county, my area of the county has one of those Antarctica windmills, so it didn't freeze up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But they're so loud.
You know.
They're so loud. And the pollution. The pollution. People don't talk about it.
No, they don't. It's just an amazing amount. I'm always wondering what society is going to think of this when they start reading about the early 21st century in class 100 years from now.
Huh, that's funny to think there's going to be like textbooks and stuff 100 years
from now. Yeah. Yeah, it's adorable. You think kids read? Unless it's a meme.
It's going to be the stories parents tell their kids around the fire as they like stay warm during the nuclear winters and
right.
And avoid the rising tides, et cetera, et cetera.
If you can TikTok it, you can teach it.
Whatever version of TikTok will be around in 100 years from now. Because social media will survive in 100 years. Like,
of course.
Like cockroaches. Absolutely.
Our tweets will live on forever.
I'm looking forward to the day that they say, you know what, internet? Gone. Poof. And just watch people lose their mind.
Then it'd be the purge for real.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Texas. How you like that freedom now, huh? $5,000 power bill? You idiots.
You know, it's that five-year-old that says, I can do it on my own. I can do it on my own.
I don't need you. I'm not an American. I'm a Texan. Yeah, are you? Mm-hmm. Please help me. Please help me with the power bill.
I just didn't think it was going to get so cold. Oh. Even though we had this type of freeze 10 years ago.
It got like in the teens in Pensacola.
Yeah.
That's close enough to us. I mean, I'm stay away cold weather. Are you kidding me? That's why I'm here to begin with.
I don't think we'd ever see Pedro again if it hit us.
Why, Pedro, where are you
going? I like the cold.
Well, I'm talking about Pedro's job.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, permanent storm duty.
That's it.
Dude, the only reason we went on active storm duty is because of that thing that went through Texas and it was going to the Carolinas. They're like, get ready.
Right.
And then, okay, nothing happened. We're good. Just rain and sleet and stuff. You know, we got more important stuff here in Florida to do.
Yeah, there are
more storms on the way.
You know, if it's not a cold front, it's flying that flag half-mast for that fat racist. Let's do it, DeSantis. Let's pull all those strings that we can. Honor that guy, that Oxycontin fiend. Jesus.
It was welcome news. It was welcome.
You know what it sucks, Dan? That I talked to friends of other states, and the first thing that they asked me is like, yo, what's happening in your state? Like, I'm like, dude, it feels like Mad Max, like the beginning of Mad Max.
It really does. Like, every single time DeSantis speaks, I just, hear that song from Big Mouth, Everything Goes in Florida?
Listen, I'll give him this. If he dresses up like Lord Humongous.
Right.
And just does the speech with a mask.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just go full Lord Humongous and let's get this cracking.
People of Florida, just walk away.
Rick Scott's on his shoulder or Marco Rubio. No, no more talk. We go in, we kill.
I see DeSantis as more of an Immortan Joe figure than a Lord Humongous.
Ooh,
for going really?
With, yeah, for going with Mad Max iconography. I prefer the fat wheezing on his deathbed dictator versus the super ripped hockey mask one.
Oh, what? Yeah. Well, what if he is the master to Trump's blaster?
There we go.
Oh,
yeah.
That's still giving them a lot of credit.
Yeah. Who runs Bata Town?
This is We get on topic here. Let's talk about the English language.
Hey, they speak English in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Oi. Oi.
Oi, Mike.
Oi.
It's a very interesting language, to be sure. It's the one that, if you believe certain 1990s interviews, that Raul Julia has to tell people and assure them that he speaks it.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
Was that Dina Shore that asked him that?
It was. Uh-huh. And just that face, like,
and he's like, why? I'm speaking English.
He's like, yeah, I spoke English when I got here. It's just one of those, like, you understand it's not a foreign country, right? Like, he just gave that look. It was like, you got to be kidding me. But, so what did you guys think of English class when you were taking it as a kid? Like all the rules and exceptions and all those things, like just understanding how to write the English language in general.
King of the run-on sentence right here. I didn't even bother putting commas or anything. It was thought and period.
Right.
No commas.
Nice. That's awesome.
I've always liked English. I would guess where the comma was.
It's like it's like a Christopher Walken screenplay.
Yeah, like a suggestion.
Yeah.
I knew that if I was listing stuff,
mm-hmm.
comma, and boom. I'm like, okay, I got that down.
Right.
Oh, so you're an Oxford comma fan, I see.
Yeah, yeah. Like
I do list. Love the Oxford comma.
I had the hammer, the chainsaw, the nails, and the body bag.
There you go.
And you knew where I and E were at all times? You knew that rhyme?
I had that down. I was pretty good. Because, you know, it's funny, in Puerto Rico, English spelling champ, even though they stole it from me.
What? I want to hear the story.
Yeah. So this was third grade. Uh-huh. And dude, I would help the teacher teach the class because I knew English is my first language, and then I learned Spanish. So I would help them out. So then they put me in a spelling contest, and they said orange.
Okay.
O-R-A-N-G-E. Right. Wrong. What? Say it again. Orange. O-R-A-N-G-E. No, you're eliminated. What? The word was arrange.
Oh. They didn't even use it in a sentence for you.
No, a sentence. You want me kicked out of elementary school for asking them to use it in a sentence? They barely knew what they were teaching.
Oh, I would be so burnt up with that.
I was so pissed. That was the beginning of Angry Pedro.
Right there.
So, origin story.
Origin story, yes.
So, Yeah, English is probably, they say it's one of the harder languages to learn out of many of the other world's languages. And
English?
English, yeah.
Really?
It's one of the harder ones. And it's because it breaks so many rules and has so many exceptions that it's just really hard for a lot of people to memorize the rhythm or the little... Well, in this case, it has to be this word type of thing that we have with our language. And it's because this is a melting pot language. English is probably one of the largest melting pot languages in the world.
I would figure we speak it the worst.
We speak it. Huh.
Huh?
Depends. It depends.
Because the English look at us like, look at these savages.
Right. And the joke is always, right, like the English say from that line, My Fair Lady, is like there's even places where English simply disappears. In America, they haven't used it for years.
Boom.
Yeah.
Take that, mates. Blimey.
And it all depends, actually, when you look at the American English, is whether or not we are faithful to the original English or if we are just so off base. It all depends on how you see its history. It's, okay. There are several mother languages, you know, the mother languages all over the world. Like there's the language that sparked everything that all are derived from, like, so Spanish, Italian, French, of course, are all from what?
Latin.
Right. They're derived from the Latin base. Latin is the queen of their language. It's the queen language there. And its cousin is Greek. And from Greek, you end up getting a bunch of... it kind of mixes in with the Slavs in the north. But it definitely is kind of this cousin to Latin. You have the original Sumerian, which branches off and becomes the Farsi, the Arabic, the Aramaic, the Hebrew, what have you. You know, it breaks off and all that stuff. So there are certain like language centers, brain centers there. And English came from the Germanic center. So originally, we're a Germanic language. Our original English comes from the Northern German Scandinavians. So if you were to talk to an Englishman in the, I would say, the 400s, it would sound, you would think he was talking and sounding Swedish more than you would English today. So it's been that big of a change.
Is it like top secret where they talk like backwards?
Really, yeah. Because if you read some of the texts from what we call Old English, it's more like Scandinavia. It's more like a Norwegian or a Danish language than it is anything to English. You'll see a lot of the S set, especially. Which is that, I'm trying to think of how you, it looks like this fancy B in the middle of words.
Oh, it looks like a paperclip sort of, or a hairpin that's been opened up a little bit.
What you're talking about.
Right. And that represents double S in the Germanic.
Yeah. It's like vice, like two S's. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To give that. Yeah.
You know what I learned? And I learned this because of TikTok. The Y-E that we see on ye old tavern or ye old bar or whatever it is, the Y-E is the in Old English. Because they combine it, but then, you know, somewhere they just, some American visiting goes, ye old bar, ye old tavern.
Yep. And you'll see a lot of E's at the end of words in the older English. Speaking of ye old.
Potato.
Mm-hmm. And so that was Old English for the longest time. And it was, again, a very, with the Germans, they have rules. Germans love their rules. German is probably one of the easiest languages to learn because grammatically, because it almost never has an exception. It is very rare that a German sentence structure does not follow one of the rules, you know, and it.
No emotion, no soft skills with that language.
Nope. And
remember when we used to work at the hotel?
Wait, what?
When we used to work for the hotel reservation place, yeah. Then I went to Germany and stuff like that. When I was in Berlin, I got to meet like people that work in the office. And yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, a smoking tall blind. It was Christmas time and stuff like that. And they had to say, hey, you want to go to the Christmas market? And then I heard her talk. I'm like, ugh. They're so rough. Mm-hmm. It's so rough.
It's very get to the point. Very, yeah, like here's the structure so you don't.
No humor.
Right. Well, the thing is with German too, though, because the way that they do it, and if you spoke German, well, I mean, one of the reasons for that harshness, for that exactness, is very rarely do Germans have to repeat themselves. You're not saying, excuse me, what did you say again? Because it's just so precise. Like, you're definitely going to hear it. And that's where we get, it's from the Germanic that we get our sentence structure, the English sentence structure, where you start off with the subject, the participle, the predicate, all of that stuff. And so that's why it's a vastly different, especially it's hard for a lot of Americans who want to try and learn romantic languages, because a lot of the times the subject is not up front like it is in the Germanic, or the action. So it's, you know, subject, action, verb, et cetera, et cetera. You know, those rules are where the original English came from. And then there was a family dispute in the year 1066. By 1066, the Vikings had been given land in northern France in order to stop them from invading the French towns. It was like, look, here's a kingdom. Just do your thing.
Just chill.
Right. It was the king, and they settled the kingdom of Normandy. And so these Vikings basically adopted the Frankish culture, the Frankish language, and for all intents and purposes, were French.
Relax, and then the Vikings, here, Rollo.
Rollo, right. Exactly. Rollo the Viking, yes. Yeah, and then the Vikings also took England. They became kings of England. And, of course,
there wasn't much of a change. Wessex, right? Wessex in England, yes. Is what they took?
Yes, Wessex, right. It took the crown, king of England. It wasn't much of a switch in the languages because it's the same brother languages, so that wasn't too hard. But then Edward the Confessor dies, of king of England. Doesn't leave an heir. And because he is related to Rollo in Normandy, and also Harold Godwinson, who was his son-in-law, there is a dispute over who gets the actual land. William of Normandy invades, the Battle of Hastings, the Normandy invasion, the Norman conquest, and this is where we start our English line of kings that we have today, kings and royalty, 1066.
Ooh.
Really the beginning of modern English, of modern England. So when they merge, William does not want to give up his language for the people he conquered. So most of the nobility go on speaking French. And since it's the language of the nobility, the words start trickling down. And that's when we get the first change. We go from Old English to Middle English. And about half the English words that we use today are all French in their original origin.
Give me a sample. Give me some.
Demolition, admiral, navy, general, artillery. Basically, yeah, most of our military terms are all French.
Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. So these are all types of things that we get out of. And that's why we have, that's why you wonder, how did we get the word poultry from the word chicken? And it's, again, from the pollo, from the pollo who goes in there. So that, you know, we get words like poultry. We get words like pork and ham instead of swine, you know, pig. It just starts to mix. And that's why we have multiple words for the same thing in English. But of course, French has a Latin construction in its grammar, which is totally different than the Germanic structure. So you're mixing these two languages and two different grammar structures, which is why you're getting all these exceptions, is because they're trying to merge two things that are almost complete opposites of each other. And that's why we get all that I before E, except after C, but then, or when sounded in A as a neighbor or way. We have to make all those exceptions because we're changing language so quickly, and the French is really becoming the dominant language. The more and more the nobles, French becomes the mother tongue of England amongst the upper classes for the next easily about 300-400 years in English history.
Okay.
And one of the reasons of that is because William was not only Duke of Normandy, us giving him a claim to England's throne because of his Viking heritage, but he was also a distant cousin to the King of France, which gave him a far away claim, but a, you know, kind of a Hail Mary claim, but a claim nonetheless to the French throne. So in order to legitimize their claim, the English nobles and the royalty mostly spoke French in order to kind of, I guess, keep practicing for when they do get the crown once at times.
Now, were other people not allowed to speak French?
If they weren't, they weren't allowed to speak French. It was, it's the same thing as, I'm trying to think of.
The people that talk like that New England smug.
Right. It's just, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I want to make the example in America, but we do change it a lot, where it's like, you can speak whatever language you want, but when you go to a government building, you better know English for the most part. Now we do have things in Spanish and we have more translators, especially in Florida, but essentially if you really want to get anywhere in government in the United States, you need to learn English. Same thing there. You could do whatever you wanted, but if you wanted to get any type of education, you had to learn Latin, because that's what the education was in the church. And if you wanted to get anywhere in society, you needed to speak French, or else you could just speak the local yokel language and that would be it.
Gotcha.
So English wasn't even the official language of England for the longest time. Many of the kings don't even speak English. Richard I, Richard the Lionhearted, you know, he's one of the most celebrated English kings, all big crusades, the big hero in Robin Hood. He's got a big statue in front of Parliament. Never spoke a word of English, barely.
Really?
Yeah.
But he spoke English in that movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And Kevin Costner sort of did too.
Yeah. Which is the best Robin Hood of all time.
I'm a Men in Tights guy personally.
Right. He barely spoke English, if at all. Barely lived in England. He lived in the Aquitaine, in his French territory for the most part. Same thing with many of the kings. They spent most of their time in their French lands. That doesn't change until after the Hundred Years' War, where it's pretty much a done deal that the English are not getting the French throne. So by that point, then the Middle English starts to become a little bit more adaptable in the words of the nobility and the upper class. They start to speak the language of the people they actually are going to rule instead of the people that they were hoping to rule. But again, it's a very, very slow process. And so you have this Norman and Saxon type of deal there. And it gets so unpopular, the English language, and French is still seen as this queen language, as this great language here, that it starts to die out almost by the 1500s. Very few people are actually speaking English outside of England itself. And England not having the highest population, you know, it's very close to having its language snuffed out. People prefer to read poetry in French. They prefer to do their religious sermons in Latin. Everything is more Latin-based, Latin-tuned. And one of the reasons is just like Pedro said about the German, the regular English sounds too rough. It does not sound as pretty.
It's just not pleasing to the ear.
Right.
In comes this young whippersnapper called Billy Shakes.
Right. So Shakespeare is writing around 1600, his plays, and he is going to be the bridge that brings us from Middle English to Modern English, as we all know. Which is interesting because at the same time, Cervantes is writing Don Quixote, and that's bridging the Middle Spanish to the Modern Spanish.
So it was just like sort of subconsciously in the air, this mass evolution of languages mm-hmm. across the language spectrum, not even just amongst Germanic, Latin, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. A lot of languages were reforming themselves. And that probably had to do with we're just finishing up the Renaissance. So with this explosion of technology, you need the new words to describe all of the new concepts. And with that, you have to create words. And thus, it's starting to, yeah, evolve the language. And English has always evolved all the time.
Yeah, like William Gibson had to come up with the word cyberspace in the 80s. No one had a mm-hmm. word for that.
Right.
Now we look back at that like, oh, that's quaint. It's cute. But someone had to come up with it.
Yeah, right. Is he making money off that? Did he trademark it?
I don't think so, but he's very successful. I think he's fine.
He's doing all right.
Yeah, he's fine. Very, very well-loved sci-fi author.
And Shakespeare is responsible for his plays to creating a lot of the modern words that we use today, a lot of the sentence structures that we use today. And what he did was he popularized the voice of the people at the time. And that's one of the reasons they were so popular is that he did it in a way that the English common person could understand it. So even though we read it and, you know, in an element, they torture us in middle school and high school with it, and we're like, oh my God, all this fancy frilly language, I don't understand it. It actually wasn't the fancy frilly language. It was essentially watching the play done in the language of the most rural Alabama community you can imagine. But it was popular because all the people could understand it. It was the blue collar comedy tour of its time. So yeah, that's just how it was. Like what takes over is the majority, not the most proper, and we lose a lot of the old English and Middle English rules as we go to modern English. And that's always funny how people always say, oh, the English language dying, people don't understand English anymore. It's like, no, English is evolving again, and that's great that you remember the old modern English, but you're trying to hold on to relics that are going to die out, you know, one of the examples is, and I think this is a hill that way too many people are wanting to die on, is many and much. You know, it's dying out. I don't think it's got much time left. It's like our lesser and fewer that died first. I think very few people, will correct you, but I talk to my students all the time, and it's always much always takes over. You know, how much time? Oh, is it? No, I'm thinking the right way. How much time is left? No, but it's like
how many times do we have left?
Yeah, how much pages do we have to do? All that kind of stuff. Like much is taking over. And I think partially it is, again, there's no need for something so formal to describe a bunch. and with all the different languages that are coming to the United States, yeah, a lot of people are getting that rule mixed up all the time. And so finally, with all the foreign, you know, foreign immigrants and everything like that, it's becoming such a F it kind of rule. Like, it's impossible to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how ain't wasn't a word.
Right.
But now it is, over the years of so many people arguing about it and whether it should be a word or not. Like, we just made it a word by using it so much.
Right. My cousin used to correct her daughter all the time whenever she would say ain't. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's, I've seen it. It exists. It's a word. It
evolved. Absolutely. Yeah, it evolved.
Well, it's in the it's in the dictionary or whatever now. Like, it's a full-on acceptable for a number of years.
Because it's not like, what's the breakup of ain't?
Is it? Mm-hmm. It still is not.
Is it? It isn't. Ain't.
It's still ain't. It still isn't, but now it's ain't.
But you know what? That much and many would bother me, because it's how much pages, how many pages is the proper.
It is. It's.
That would drive me crazy.
It drives me nuts, but I've learned not to fight it anymore. It's just, it's not a problem that's going to fix itself that quickly. Even my oldest is still using it. I'm like, I correct him as much as I can, but it's like, much is kind of taking over, which is weird because I like the word many a lot better.
Blood don't want no help. Blood don't get no help.
Mm-hmm. So, and then of course, yeah, you have to words that have been around that we think have been around forever, again, were just made up. When you even look at contractions, so like we talked about ain't, like will not. What is will not's contraction?
Won't.
Yeah, it's not willn't.
Yeah.
Which it should be.
Say that again, Pedro. We got nothing from you.
I think we lost Pedro again.
Speak, Pedro.
I'm back. Yay.
There we go.
There we go.
Was it like 15, 20 years ago? Oh, I lost you guys again.
We can hear you.
We hear you, okay. Though. I'll edit all this out.
Nah, leave it. 15, 20 years ago, weren't they pushing like Ebonics? And we're like, yo, that's ridiculous. It shouldn't be, but it's now it's become part of the American lexicon.
Right. There was no reason to make a class for it because it was just part of the natural process of evolution.
Yeah, you don't have to teach it. It's already happening.
Right. And now I think almost everybody will say things like, yeah, it'd be like that. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So yeah, English.
Mr. Perella, Stevie be gone.
Uh-huh. And it's I have a hard time. Like, in my mind, it hurts a little bit, but it's hard to defend a language that started out as a bastard in the first place. It stopped being English a long ass time ago.
Once a bastard, always a bastard.
Exactly.
That's what Tyrion Lannister
used to say. Like you said, it's very harsh sound. And so King James, when he starts taking over in the 1600s, King James and King Charles, they really decided they have to find a way to make the English language sound pleasant so more people will want to learn English and so it won't be wiped away. And that's when they introduced the English accent.
So it had to be introduced? It didn't just evolve naturally?
They got it amongst the nobles to say, and then from there it kind of trickled down again.
Because everyone wants to be like the richer people, the betters.
Right, exactly.
Is it King James Bible or King James English? Have I ever heard? Am I mixing stuff up?
King's English, right? The King's English?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's King James English, and he did write. He did redo the Bible to be the King James Bible. Yeah, his version. He edited it.
Okay.
Yeah, he had some of the homosexuality is bad stuff taken out because it was clashing with his lifestyle.
Oh, he took out the sexy parts of the Bible.
Yeah, no, he took out the stuff that said what he was doing was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are that stuff. But yeah,
that's he made it friendly towards his lifestyle.
Yes. Yeah. Precisely.
It was very user compatible. Yes, and yeah, that's where this accent comes from, that they speak over in England, and then you know you hear it in different forms in Ireland and Scotland and Australia.
How come we don't use it? It's so much fun. It's so much fun to talk like this. I sound so much smarter when I have on an accent, don't I?
But it's different because in London, different sections of London have different accents. And it's right there. It's just like, dude, people from Orlando have this accent, but people from Winter Park speak like this. But wait till you talk to the people in the land.
Yo, I can't even understand the people from the land. They're like from another planet. It's crazy how, they're so close to each other, but their accents differ so much.
People of Bithla is hard because I don't speak banjo.
Our language, the way the Americans speak English, the reason we don't get toddied up is because by the time that James and Charles are putting all this in, it's the 1600s. The colonies have already been established over here.
Oh, so it can't travel over the water.
It was the first sign of American independence was the fact that we didn't take on the accent.
Interesting.
Right. So
I would love to find out how the hell did the accent come about? Like, I get the New England area accent, but the West Virginia accent and then the Texas, Mississippi, like each state kind of has their own little slang to it. You know what I'm saying?
Because it depended which version of English came to that region. Like a lot of the Southern accent that we hear is a lot of the low class and Irish and Scottish people that were sent over there as prisoners. And so it became that, whereas the English was a little bit more, the New England was a little bit more highbrow people. So they spoke in a sort of an attempt to copy the New English accent, but it didn't take completely. So that's why both England, both someone from England and Boston will say ca. Just in a different way.
What about that mid-Atlantic accent that was popular in like the 1900s? Is that jumping the gun talking about that thing that we make fun of on the show every now and then? When it's like, Pedro, we have Pedro here now and Dan. They're both on the show. Like, what is that? People will like force themselves to speak that way.
Oh, the radio? You're doing the old-timey radio?
Yeah, like, yeah. That was called the mid-Atlantic accent.
Right.
Really? That's what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
That was
Dan Perrello taking over.
Yeah,
that was the accent of many of the New York elites.
That was
right. So, you know, FDR spoke that way. Teddy Roosevelt spoke that way.
We're gonna bomb these Japs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of media is coming from that area anyway. That's what people are talking like.
Yeah, because all the if you want to make it in America, even back then, it was New York. You have to make it in.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. All right.
Howard Cosell was the last mid-Atlantic, whatever accent that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it became a culture that's because the people who could buy radios were all the upper class. So you spoke in their accent.
Because you're copying what you're hearing.
Right. You remember the movie Better Off Dead?
Yeah.
The Japanese kids that only spoke Howard Cosell whenever they would do street race with blame.
Because they're copying what they're hearing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, which is exactly it.
And so really, yeah, that's kind of this, and English keeps changing over and over again, just according to how it's, I guess it's like the only, one of the only languages that's crowdsourced. Is the best way to describe it. And it changed. It's a very democratic language.
Yeah, some words, they get their chance in the day and they stick or they don't.
Right. Some stick around. Some come back after a while, like swag.
Mm-hmm.
And some just disappear forever. So that's always just an interesting thing about the English language, and that's one of the things is never really get defensive over it because it never really existed in the first place.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's the English that we're speaking right now is about as artificial as Esperanto. Yeah, there we go. A little bit into the English and where it comes from and why.
I'm trying to remember what word was just made up that they just added, like the most recent word. Because, you know, they always add them to that Webster Dictionary.
Right. I don't remember.
What is it they used to say? Your eyebrows are on...
Fleek.
Fleek.
Fleek is now on there?
I think that made it. That made it to, like, to the dictionary.
Fleek. There we go.
Yep. The hell is fleek?
The Oxford Dictionary in 2019 added words like Jedi. Wow, Jedi was just added to the Oxford English Dictionary.
Really?
Very nice. In 2019. And Easy Breezy was added.
But Easy is there and Breezy is there too. So
yeah, now it's Easy - Breezy. Adjective, especially of clothing, style, etc., informal, casual, relaxed, carefree.
So they just Reese's peanut butter cup that those two words
which is the same thing that happened to chillax, which is an intransitive verb meaning to calm down and relax, or take it easy to chill. Well,
is guesstimate in the dictionary? Because everyone loves saying
guesstimate's a great word, but considering that Jedi was just added, who knows? Maybe
guesstimate has to be there. Many people.
Also, lightsaber was added.
I blame the Mandalorian for that.
So, yeah.
No, really. Is guesstimate in there?
Let's find out. From the Oxford language, guesstimate, noun, an estimate based on a mixture of guesswork and calculation, a rough guesstimate of public expenditure, verb, form an estimate of based on guesswork and calculation.
There we are. And we are.
It's the same as estimate, guesstimate. It's the same thing, people.
It's the exact same thing.
But it gets used, though, so now we need to know what it means.
Estimate, get out of here. Guesstimate, you're in.
I want to give a shout out to the word cool. For remaining in the vernacular since the 1950s. Good job. You've beaten out radical and bodacious.
That's how cool that word is, that it will always stick around. And guys, are you ready to have your mind blown? According to Oxford Dictionary, guesstimate has been around since the 1930s.
Oh.
You know, I could see it. You know, well, Carlton, my guesstimate is that the war will be over within a few years.
Get ready to welcome your boys. Home is my guesstimate any day now.
I don't know the exact number, but my guesstimate is there's at least a handful of those Japanese traders in those camps in California.
A handful.
There's a pot's worth of traders in there, so the camps must be worth it.
Gotta be. Little skitterwags full. Yo, those words in the 1920s and 30s, you could tell that marijuana and other drugs were not illegal yet because they were just throwing everything out.
Malarkey. Who the hell uses malarkey anymore?
Hey, man, see if this word works. Why don't we call it, let's say shenanigan. Yeah, let's do it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, words were crazy back then. I feel like we got it under control now.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You're crazy. We got it on lock.
Yeah, better than rolling around town on a penny farthing. Doesn't even describe what the thing does.
So many ridiculous words that, again, it's just they die and we just keep going with new stuff. It's cool about that language, actually. And I think that's one of the reasons why English has stuck around despite its complexity, is that it's willing to say, all right, yeah, let's not use that anymore. Whereas harsher languages, it has a problem in selling itself because it tries to keep traditional. Well, guys, I think we can put the wheels down on this one.
This has been it for Half True Histories. This rambunctious bunch has met its destiny, whatever.
We've had quite a kerfuffle today.
A kerfuffle. Holy shit. A kerfuffle.
So, all right. Yeah, let's end this hellabaloop and see.
So, send us your favorite, most ridiculous word you got.
Yes. Why don't you tweet it to us and tweet it to everyone at PFT Media, all the shows as well. Keep up with them. Chris Crespo, we got them all rocking out.
We got them all going. PFTmedia.com. Check it out, guys. New shows almost every day of the week.
All right. So do that. Check us out at Half True History on pretty much all your social media needs. For Chris Crespo, Pedro Lima, I am Dan Perel. This has been Half True History, and we will see you on the next page.
Peace.
Peace.